Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Social Geek Radio is live. How are you doing tonight, Deb?
I'm doing good. I love your hey, geeks. It's just like I need to jump in there. Hello, geeks. Hey, geeks. Hi. How are we today?
Yes, it's our people. So let's get right into it and geek it out tonight. What do you have for us?
Yeah. So Facebook Live has been around for a while, and I love seeing a lot of the live streams that we people are jumping in there. They're not shy. They're starting to do Facebook Live, which is great. But so let's just go to the next version of Facebook Live. I love that we can now do two stream. You know, Jack, you and I could do a live stream together side by side, but we can't do it on our business pages yet, which is really, it's like, oh, I really want it for the business pages because I can see where, especially, you know, you and I with broadcasting, how we could do this.
Sure.
I went on. So it's a kind of tricky. So I did go on the Facebook business page. Couple things. You have to have an iOS. Can't do it for Android yet. So I went on the Social Geek Radio page. And I said, well, I'm going to test it. So it looks like it's ready, but it's not. What happens when you go and you do a live stream? If you swipe left, you now see who's watching you live. Okay. So that was a good sign. I could, that portion worked. I swiped left. I could see who was live, and you tap the folks that are watching live. You choose somebody, you know, you got three viewers or you have 30 viewers, and you tap someone, and then you can invite them to go live with you. What I discovered, that didn't work on the business page. So I shut that down, that live, and I went on my personal page, did the same thing, went live, gave it a title, went live, swipe left, and da-da, you know, I've got 10 people watching me live, which, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I could see. So the first one that I invited was Christy, and I think her last name is McGregor. She is the Mode Boutique manager. What I could see on her profile was a green video, meaning that she could go live with me. She has an iOS. Another person didn't have an iOS, so I didn't see the green invite.
And
so
we don't want to talk to them anyway if they don't have
We don't want to talk to them. So Christy and I had a little bit of a conversation. It's like, this is really cool. So then I just X'd her out. So there's a little X in the box when you want to let somebody go that's going live with you. And I invited the next person, and it happened to be Justin Brackett, who, you know, we've had on Social Geek Radio. We met at Frantech. He did a presentation years ago. So it's really, I think it's a great feature. I think I can see lots of opportunities for this. Maybe not so much on our personal pages yet, but all you got to do is just save that recording and pop it over to a business page, and then you've got it in raw format and it's ready to go. But I'm really anxious to see it go live on the business pages. So
you could save the recording from that two-person personal Facebook profile recording and then upload it from a business page. So for franchisors and franchisees, that may work at this point. But it sounds like there are some other limitations. We joke about iOS, but
I know, you know,
the reality is there's a lot of people out there with Android phones who really can't use this yet. So
not yet.
I'm sure it will be coming soon, but I would recommend to everyone to go in and give it a try and check out Deb's page and see how that went and maybe go in and do something live. So
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of traffic because it's live and it's video and it's Facebook. So,
and that's the big thing. And this is why I want that to go live for business pages so much, is because it's like we always say, it's old school Facebook organic traffic, nearly 100% in this case, friends, not fans, but in this case, 100% of your friends will see that live video and also get alerted to it if they haven't muted you in that alert section.
And then, you know, think about the alerts too. So when you're doing a live, like when I was doing with Christy or Justin, not just my connections were alerted, their connections were alerted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Quick lives with two different people. And, you know, I got a lot of views from folks I don't know. So
that's the power. Yep.
Yep.
Great. Great geeking out tonight. Let's make a note to check that out again in, you know, a couple of months. I'm sure Facebook's going to move pretty quickly on this.
Too.
Right.
So, I do too.
Excellent. Yep. Thanks for that. And now, Deb, why don't you bring out our special guest for tonight's Social Geek Radio interview?
I will. So a few months ago at IFA, at the new member gathering, I met Dr. Letitia Rowe, who happens to be right here in the Houston area, which was very bizarre to meet someone in my own backyard. But she is a physician, an entrepreneur, and she's a pioneer in the field of telemedicine, which just blows my mind. So welcome, Letitia, Dr. Rowe. We'd love to hear more about you and how you got started. And what is this whole telemedicine practice that you've got going?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today, Deb. It was just such a awesome experience at IFA, and meeting you was one of the best and most rewarding parts of the conference because you were able to help me just immerse and fully appreciate it. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I've said that before. I am a family medicine physician by training. So I see everything from adults to children. And I got into the space of telemedicine after completing business school, in realizing there were a lot of inefficiencies in healthcare. And it just made no sense to me that it took the amount of time that it took for a doctor to see a patient. There were many times where I would be sitting in my office for nearly an hour, just waiting for the patient to get to me, and the entire time frustrated and thinking, oh my God, just bring them back here already. The patient would get to me and they would be upset and not as open as they would have been if they'd had a better experience before they got to me. So I thought to myself, how do you just connect the doctor and the patient? How do we get rid of some of the paperwork and dependent on how fast the nurse moves and all of the extra in there? Now, being a millennial, I am very much into social media. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Snapchat, and it's just a way of life for me. I've never used paper charts. I've always used electronic medical records. So I thought, like, this is silly. Why can't we see patients through the internet? We have meetings through the internet. I went to China in business school. I was able to Skype my 4-month-old son through the internet, but I can't see a patient. And the most valuable thing in that doctor-patient encounter is the physician listening to what the patient has to say. And with all of the distractions that are present today, someone's knocking on the door while you're seeing the doctor. The doctor's looking at the EMR. Are they really looking at your chart or looking at someone else's results? The opportunity to put a doctor and a patient face to face, no one in between them, to me, brings a higher level of quality and a just better experience for the doctor and patient. So that's how I stumbled into telemedicine, just realizing medicine was inefficient. I felt that there was a better way to practice. I always had more questions than answers every time I worked for someone. And I said, I want to create my own thing. I want to create my own space. That was 2 years after completing residency, in a time where telemedicine was really new. Like, no one was even talking about it new. So the response from mentors, advisors was, this is not a good idea. You're pretty much setting yourself up for failure, and you need to just get another job and not really think about this crazy idea. But I was persistent. I thought the laws are there, the technology's there. Patients want it. I knew that because they were inboxing me on Facebook. I said, I'm going to do it. So that's what I did. I, as they say, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, jumped off the cliff, took the leap, went into business, learned a lot along the way. But probably one of the most valuable things I learned was that in doing this telemedicine, that there was as much value for the doctor as there was for the patient. And physicians flocked to me. They wanted to know, what is this that you're doing? Can I do it? Can I work from home? And now our network has grown to over 50 doctors in 21 states, just replicating the same process I used for myself when I started out, with a goal and mission of preserving that doctor-physician relationship, but leveraging technology in a way that it's a better experience for both the doctor and the patient. So maybe I answered like 10 questions, but
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I'm really interested in the technology behind these video chats. Tell us how that works, and is it something that you can do over any network, or do you have a secured network set up, or what does that look like?
That is an excellent question, and there is something called HIPAA, which is the Patient Privacy Act, protecting patients so that your information is not easily hacked or accessed by third parties other than yourself and your doctor. And because of that, we cannot use just any network or any technology. It has to be technology that was designed specifically for that. Otherwise, you could be having a very personal conversation with your doctor and someone else could have access to that. So I'm an Apple junkie, so I love all Apple devices. And I just, you know, would love to be able to FaceTime my patients. That would be so easy.
Yeah.
But I would not be protecting them. I would be essentially breaking the law unless Apple were to say, FaceTime is now HIPAA compliant. So if you come across a doctor that says, oh yeah, you can just FaceTime me or just Skype me, that is not the way it's supposed to be done. You probably need to send them to me to protect both you and the doctor, making sure that relationship is done in a way that really protects and preserves the privacy of your health information. Now, the functionality of that technology is just as easy as FaceTime. So I often tell people, like, it's just like FaceTime, because it is. It's just with an extra layer of protection. And that is how simple it works. So say, you know, you wanted an appointment with me. I have a website where you go to the website, you can choose myself or another doctor, request an appointment, and then you will get the instructions on how to download the app in your email so that you would be able to have that appointment with one of our doctors.
Wow. You know, and when HIPAA is ever mentioned, it's like, whoa, how did you guys get past that? I mean, because that's just that overarching fear of compliance, but you did it. So you said it's an app. So can people do this from their desktop if they've got video system, or is it mostly used within a mobile device?
It is actually, you can use it on your desktop, you can use it on your tablet, you can use it on your phone. It really is functional across all devices, just like Skype or FaceTime can be used on multiple devices. It really is no different. And it's really up to the consumer what is most convenient. One thing that I will say is very important is you can have the absolute best technology. If you have a horrible internet signal at home, it's not going to work. Or if you have a poor service, it's not going to work. So I hate for people to be frustrated in that situation, because the technology is dependent on the strength of your signal. So that's just one bit of advice I would give for people who maybe still are using cable or some weak internet. Get a good connection.
Blame it on the Wi-Fi. That's what we always say. It's not our fault. It's the Wi-Fi. If you don't like this show, it's the Wi-Fi. But it's so interesting to me that we're talking about this from the aspect of saving time and getting in to see the doctor quicker. but I'm thinking of it from a geographical standpoint. You must have patients who are maybe living in a small town or a remote area far, far away who really don't have good access to see a doctor that could see you as fast as if they lived in the city, right?
Yes. So I love that you bring that up because it is so powerful for people who are in more remote areas. They definitely can access the technology, but also recognizing that there are other boundaries to seeing a doctor than physical location. You may have an elderly person that lives right in the middle of the city, but doesn't have transportation or may be wheelchair bound. And here is an excellent opportunity. They may have all their independence aside from that to be able to take advantage of that. So geographically, it's a great option if you're in remote areas. But if there are any other restrictions from getting you to the doctor, this is a great option. We even have patients who, you know, are in other countries. We have doctors that are licensed in those countries that are able to see patients even outside of the country. And we're in a time now where healthcare is very consumer driven, and people know that they have options. So you may want the best doctor in Texas, not necessarily in your city, and be willing to drive to them. But if you don't have to, how awesome is that?
Right. You know, I love your scenario there. You're talking about the seniors. So I think of my own mom, who I finally got her using the iPad. You know, I gave her an iPad so that she could FaceTime or talk with grandchildren. I know how much she would totally, because she's wheelchair bound too. And getting to a doctor is a process. It is like a week of planning for someone to pick her up and get that wheelchair and get her there. If she could do this, oh my God, I think she'd be that patient that would say, oh, I'm just going to dial my doctor up. I'm going to FaceTime her, meet with them on virtually today, tomorrow, and the next day. But it would just be so convenient for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a great opportunity in that demographic. And the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, many families are going to be sending their kids off to college soon. And you're going off. You don't have your pediatrician anymore. Mom and dad are in the same city to tell you what to do. You know, if something happens to your child or grandchild while they're on that college campus, and maybe they don't have a car, or maybe they don't know that area, where do they go? What do they do? So to be able to say, oh, you can just pick up the phone and find a doctor just like that without having to go off campus or figure that out and be distracted is a huge benefit. So it's applicable in so many different scenarios. I really feel like this is going to be the technology that truly disrupts healthcare for the positive. It's going to help preserve the doctor-patient relationship. It is going to help us practice better medicine by not being redundant and repetitive, because people will have more access to doctors than they ever did before. And it's going to cut cost big time. I just, right before we started this, saw a patient in my office that went to urgent care. In Texas, you have to see the patient in office for the first visit. You cannot just do a telemedicine visit with any patient. So they were coming here to establish that relationship. Texas is very unique. It's not like that in most states. So in most states, it will not matter. But here in Texas, that's the situation. However, this patient, just prior to seeing me, went to urgent care. They have insurance, and they paid $200 for the problem they needed to be seen for. I could have handled that problem via telemedicine, and their insurance copay would have only been $50. So they would have saved $150 by having that problem addressed by me instead of going to urgent care. And a lot of people don't realize that. And so when they're in a crunch, or they're feeling bad and their doctor's closed, or their doctor doesn't have any appointments available, they're like, oh, I'll go to urgent care. That's just what people do.
Yeah.
Well, now you row it. You go online, you go to the rowdocs.com, and that's how you get care. You don't have to go through the hassle of urgent care anymore.
I love that. You just row it.
Just row it. So it sounds like you're, aside from helping patients, you're also pretty much fixing our entire healthcare problem in America with this new business model. So let's talk about the business model for a second. You came to the International Franchise Association. It feels like there's a budding business here. Is that right?
Absolutely. So currently we have doctors in 21 states. Our business model is we are one physician group. Everyone is under the same network. Many of our doctors have their own practices, but they're also a part of this larger group practice as well. And there is, for me, a huge opportunity to take the existing infrastructure, because we've built it, and expand upon it, not only geographically, but also by specialty. So where you have a row gastroenterologist or row urologist or row cardiologist, and that specialty can be franchised, and there's an opportunity to potentially franchise by location as well. So we're exploring both options, but the fact of the matter is that this is a business that, because it's technology based and we don't need brick and mortar, we have the opportunity to scale more quickly than our competitors that are doing traditional medicine like Kaiser or Mayo, because they need buildings. We don't. We have doctors, we have patients, and we have technology. So for that opportunity, when I have already created the operational system that can be replicated, we are looking forward to franchising this in the near future.
Operational system that can be replicated. Yeah. That's the definition, right?
You covered it all. I mean, we know that any potential franchisor, the first thing they're always asked when they're looking to franchise it, is it a model that can be replicated? Does it have a strong operation, a structure? She's got a great business here. I just really see this as a wonderful franchise opportunity. And you've done a phenomenal job with it, Leticia. I love the row it.
Coming to IFA, honestly, was one of the most inspiring events I have attended, because to see how those businesses have scaled over time is what I've always believed was possible with my company. But it was like, oh my God, how can you scale your business to this? And to see how many people have done it in other industries, to me, it was light bulb. You can do this, because it's already being done and shown in so many other industries. It's just a matter of finding, like you said, the right franchisors to be able to help you grow.
Right. Get the right partners. So before we end up wrapping things up, I know that you have an upcoming virtual physician summit. When you and I were talking last, of course, I thought, oh, virtual, this is going to be a virtual summit, but it's not, correct? You actually have a IRL in real life summit. But
Yes, in real life.
Virtual practice.
Which is my son's favorite statement, in real life, Mom. So yeah. In real life, in October, we will be here in Houston at the Texas Medical Center Innovation Institute, which is a part of the Texas Medical Center, which is one of the largest med centers in the world, a hub for innovation in healthcare. We are very excited to offer this conference, which basically is an opportunity for doctors and individuals interested in learning more about telemedicine to understand both the clinical and the business side of the industry. We had such great feedback from our first conference. We had individuals flying to Houston from all over the United States and from other countries as well. It was amazing. And we are so lucky and excited for our second year to have confirmed Kevin MD, he is a thought leader in healthcare, a social media guru, and definitely someone we're excited to have come on board and really lend to not only how do we do telemedicine, but how do we build our own brands within healthcare. So it's going to be a very exciting time.
Very exciting indeed. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight's guest is Dr. Letitia Rowe, CEO and founder of Rowe Docs. Doc, in the last couple of minutes we have left, if someone wants to learn more about this upcoming physician summit, or if they would just like to learn more from the patient side about getting involved in your network, what's the best place for them to learn about this?
You can check out our website, www.roedocs.com, and you will find all the information you need there. And our social media handlers are the same for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us at Roedocs, and we're always posting updates.
Roedocs, got it. And we'll have links to all of those places on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page and website as well for any of our listeners who want to check it out. Dr. Rowe, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio tonight.
Awesome. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Thank you. It was fun having you. I can't wait to get together with you in person here soon. So thank you, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.